All right, seven straight up. So let's begin. I want to welcome everybody to the town council meeting tonight. Looks like we have a good crew here. And can you hear me, Peg? Are we good on that end?
I can hear you fine. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can. Thank you. Elizabeth, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, very good. So we have a quorum tonight, Elizabeth Boom and Gladys and Steve and Jimmy and myself are here. So before we start, let's stand. Everybody remove their hats. Let's say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, so the first thing we're going to do is approve the agenda. The only addition that we had on the agenda was Cindy wanted to be put on the agenda. And when I first heard about it today, I assumed that it was for Andy's and it was to talk about 400 North again. So we put her in for discussion only because it has to be 24 hours. We will not be doing any voting or discussing for the town council. So she is being put in under funds allocated for the town road and repair. The second situation, Sam Stout is asked to be put on next month's agenda. He was unable to make it tonight, so we'll take him off tonight's agenda and then add him next month. Other than that, I think everything is the same. So can I have a motion to approve the agenda with those?
Gladys will make that motion.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Gladys, yes.
Steve, yes.
Jim, yes.
Judy, yes. Elizabeth?
Elizabeth, yes.
Okay, thank you. Motion passes, so we will begin the agenda. First, we'll approve the minutes for September. Has everybody had a chance to read those?
Yes.
Yeah. Any corrections? I have one correction. On page two, when it talks about this was in speaking about John Barant when he gave us the electronic meeting resolution that we passed. Right here where it says, Judy makes a motion to pass the ordinance and Elizabeth seconds it. All members say yes, that is out of there. We just opened it for discussion and then voted on it after. So we'll make that correction. I think that was all I saw. Did anybody have anything else? I think, okay, well, we have one correction. Okay, yeah, I don't have anything else on here. So I make a motion that we pass the minutes with the one correction. Do I have a second?
Gladys, a second.
Okay, all in favor?
Yes, Gladys.
Steve, yes.
Jim, yes.
Judy, yes.
Elizabeth, yes.
Okay, the minutes are approved with one correction on it. All right.
Come on, Steve, second.
Okay, our wildfire update. Judith, would you like to come up and make sure that speaker's on? Thanks, Gladys. All right, just state your name and.
Good evening, Judith Guile here, representing the Wildfire Council and the recommendations to the town council and the mayor. I'm going to read what is in front of you for the record. And if you don't have a copy, I can hand one over, but
I made copies for everyone.
Okay. The recommendation is a motion to be made to accept assignments for the four council members when operating in the capacity of the chain of command as codified in Chapter 33, Emergency Operations Plan, the EOP. Under the proposed emergency contact plan, the following assignments are proposed. For Steve Johnson, Upper Boulder, Middle Boulder, Black Boulder Mesa, and Deer Creek, with a total of 8 pod leader contacts. For Jim Ketmull, Lower Boulder, The Draw, and South Gulf, with a total of 8 pod leader contacts. Gladys Lefevre, the commercial businesses, Halls, Poles Place, Boulder Mountain Lodge / Hell's Backbone Grill. They are separate, but then they're under the responsibility of the lodge. Burr Trail Grill, Annie's Place, Hills and Hollows, and now down in South Gulch, Boulder Mountain Guest Ranch, and again the / with Sweetwater Kitchen being part of that operation, with a total of 8 contacts. Now, I didn't put on the list Corey Johnson's motel, Clearfield Cliffs, because he, if we don't have him online, we're in trouble. So I'm hoping he can say to his wife, I think we need to take some action. For Elizabeth Julian, Boulder Elementary School, Anasazi State Park, and I've added Boss operation for a total of 3 contacts. And I explained in an earlier email, that's because Elizabeth will have so much responsibility acting as chain of command and principal of the elementary school. So I'm hoping that someone can make a motion to accept this.
Okay, so I guess my only question now, up here on Boulder King Estates, you have, there are still vacancies, Boulder King Estates, The Draw, Salt Gulch.
Well, actually, I think we've amended that, and we now have 15 out of them.
Okay.
So we're waiting for
The one I didn't.
The Mesa.
Okay.
And the HOA will have to act before we can, but Scott Aho is very aware of what we're trying to
do. Okay, cool.
And I know it will be in place by spring.
So does anyone have any discussion on this at all? Is this okay with everybody? It looks like it's pretty thorough.
A question. Do we then need to go out and find the pod leaders, or are there people that have?
Well, the communication network is, of course, always in question. There's the big question on reverse 911, if it's coming in from public lands, the county, or Corey Johnson says, we're in trouble. Keeping you informed, the mayor and the four council people, has to be detailed in some way, because we're not always by our phones. And even when we are, sometimes the communication is not adequate. The only thing that you will need to do is call your 8 pod leaders, and they will be responsible for their small
groups.
Yeah. And again, we're hoping that the communication works smoothly for the pod leaders and their small grouping. Push comes to shove, they'll just have to run down the road and knock on the door.
Okay.
So something that might be a point of discussion on the chain of command end will be perhaps, one, thinking of a siren, or seeing to it that either the sheriff is available, or someone on the fire response team driving around and running the siren and perhaps having a loudspeaker running through the town. That has been done in California and in Oregon, and I think Colorado too, where the authorities, the chain of command isn't necessarily, is not convinced that everybody has been contacted. And they do a final run through the neighborhoods to see if they can generate some communication on a one-on-one.
Okay.
Can I make,
Yes, Elizabeth. Hello?
She said she's having hearing problems, so.
Okay, we'll wait a
minute. Can we have the discussion?
Hello?
I'd like to make a motion to accept it as it was presented, so then we can continue to discuss it.
Okay, do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, we'll continue the discussion. Well, we're getting
Elizabeth,
used.
Elizabeth made the motion, I yeah. second it.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I have one other point of discussion myself, and that is how to present the council members with the information that needs to be collected on their properties. I didn't put them on the call list because they are the callers, but they, each of you, are property owners, or at least renters, but I think all property owners. So your property needs to be documented on our survey form and mapping. And that's specifically for Corey Johnson, his fire chief. He wants to update his notebook, which is many years old now. So I'm going to ask informally if perhaps I can just connect with you in the next week on a one-on-one basis and just share with you what I'm giving to each of the pod leaders, and then give to you your packet, which is the flyer that says, if you're prepared, this is what you will have done, and the survey, which talks about your address, your parcel number, the number of structures on your property. And that information is needed not only for Corey and his notebook, but our state plan and our federal FEMA plan. Both have asked us to survey the town in terms of the number of structures, propane tanks, road access, etc. So I'm prepared to take that on initially in the spring when the information comes in. And...
Okay, well, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, that would be fine with me. Sounds like everybody.
That's pretty informal. That's not part of, yeah, of this motion. It's just perhaps at the end of the meeting, you can tell me perhaps a time that would be convenient for you for the next week. It takes about 15 minutes, so it's not going to be using up a lot of your time, and it can be when and where you're it's most convenient for you.
Okay.
That's all I have.
All right. Well, if there's no other discussion right now, then we'll take a vote. All in favor?
Gladys, yes.
Steve, yes.
Jim, yes.
Judy, yes. Are you froze, Elizabeth?
She's toasting.
Okay. All right. Well, she made the motion, so I'm sure she's good with it. So, all right. Motion carries then. And Judy, I appreciate all the work you're doing on this. It really, really helps. And, you know, no matter, I mean, even though this is the wildfire, this will be pertinent information for any emergency that we have. So I think it's awesome. I really do. Well,
thank you very much. And I really appreciate representing the Wildfire Council, your interest in cooperation, participation. So thank you.
Okay. All right, next on the agenda, Halloween plans and road closures. I haven't been involved in this. I don't have any kids, so I'm not sure
Steve sent me a message and said, this is the time that you normally discuss this. I was hoping I had...
Can I make a suggestion?
Absolutely.
Let's see. When this first came about, it was Betsy Hilton that kind of planned it and organized it for the community. And she's here tonight. And so I didn't know if we could just have her present it of what has happened, what they would like to have happen for the kids in town. And then based on that discussion, if we need to make any motions to close roads or do anything, we go from there.
Okay. Betsy, are you out there? Can you hear us?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead, hon.
Okay. I'll keep this short because I've already got my kids breaching the barrier here. But I just wanted to say, this is the third year that we're doing this. And we've learned some things over the last 2 years. And this is kind of the consensus so far. We want to barricade just outside of where Sam and Debbie Stout's house is, because going into, if we do that, then people are able to see coming up the road that the road is closed. Last year, we had tourists that ended up coming down, not knowing that the road was closed, and there wasn't any place for them to turn around happily, I guess. And so I'd like the barricade where it was originally, which was just outside Sam and Debbie's house. And so it completely takes out that hairpin turn for when they're coming around. And then the kids will trick or treat from their house up to in front of the church house, maybe just in front of the turnoff to like the church parking lot. And then that way we'll have on both ends, drivers will be able to see that the road is closed off and they can make make a U-turn if they don't want to do that. When I was part of the group of parents that started this a few years ago, and we have basically decided, if it's okay with the town, to go ahead and from now on, if we could have it be the Saturday before Halloween every year, then the community can kind of plan on it, and hopefully it won't interrupt anybody else's actual Halloween parties. And it would be either between 5:30 and 6, or excuse me, 5:30 and 6:30, or 6 and 7. I think last year we did it between 5:30 and 6:30, but we don't need to hammer out the details there. I think mainly we just wanted to talk with the town about having it be more of a continuing community event, and going forward, just have an understanding that it would be on that date and within those boundaries, I guess. And that's all I had to say about it.
All right. Well, that seems pretty simple to me. And Corey said he would be more than willing to help. So I'll get hold of him and have him contact you, and then you can tell him exactly where you want it. And it sounds like a good deal to me.
Okay. Yeah, and can we just double check that because it's not any part of Highway 12, we don't need to do anything with UDOT for road closures, correct?
No. Yeah, okay. You're right.
So we just can say we support it, but we don't actually have to do anything other than that.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. All right. Next, funds allocated for road repairs from the storm. I'm going to let Jimmy address that. He's talked to a few people in town that have had problems from that last hailstorm and rainstorm that caused havoc with us. So go ahead, Jim.
So the first one is 450 West, going down off the hill, coming down off the Canal Hill. I went down and took a look at it. Dr. Kip notified me of the problem for it. The whole entire thing, that whole hill comes off and drains off. The Highway 12 crowns off into that ditch. And everything coming from down all the way down the hill on this half of the road comes down and goes right across, comes straight into the 450 West and goes straight down that road. So the only thing that we can really do to fix it is to come in and put a culvert in there, which if we do that, we got to make sure that we're not going to flood out Jane Phillips Place or Peter Phillips Place right there. But we have to do something with it because it's digging huge trenches going all the way through that. Same with, I think it's 400 North right here. We got to figure out because everything that comes off of the Hall Store parking lot and the Anasazi comes down and goes straight down, floods out, going down Wendell's Road and the Lane Road right down through there. I don't know what to do with this one up here, but this one down here, I'll start to get bids on it to see if we can actually get it fixed. Because I know it's going to be over $1,000. We're going to have to put it out for bid anyway. So the 450 West at the very bottom of Canal Hill.
And Jim was, we were talking about it. We're going to talk to the county and put some bids out and see what it's going to cost and see what the best way to go is with it and what we can do so that it doesn't cause problems downstream. So,
and I'd also like to get, see if we can get from Brown Brothers, like 10 loads of road base and just have it stored back here where the old ball mark used to be right here. So that way when we do have problems like this, we're not trying to scrape up sand off the side of the roads. And because we do start doing that, like down there, that's what I was worried about going down right through there on 450 was the phone lines right through there. I think they're only 8 to 10 inches deep. So we start scraping all the sand off the sides and then we get ourselves in trouble with not calling blue stakes on it. So if we can get 10 loads back here, I'll see what the loads are for it, but I think it's in our best interest to do it just for all the roads we have.
Okay. So we'll have to okay that next month. And the other thing I was going to ask you, you were talking about the problem of what's underneath the roads.
Yeah. So on 450 West, right where the culvert's supposed to be, where it would be going, we have our main water line going directly underneath that. And we also have, I think Dave told me 3 sets of phone lines right there. And then I think there's a power that's right there. So it's going to be a pain to put it in, but.
All right. Well, it's something we got to address and get done. So get the quotes, put it out there. We talked about Jones and DeMille at the beginning, but we might be able to get, I know they're pretty hefty, but if we can get quotes elsewhere and talk to the county, see if they can help us, you know, between all of them.
Well, and maybe, whoever, if we put the bid out for it, they're going to have to get it engineered anyway, because they're going to have make sure that they're going by everything that's, because it's UDOT, it's right on the side of UDOT, so we're going to have UDOT's approval and everything else for it, so.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so Jimmy, going down to 450, when it first comes down past Judy's place and that, then that drains into the canal, correct?
Right. All that drains in right past our PRV, the water PRV station, yeah. Right there.
So basically what's going down to 450 is from the canal on down.
And everything's running off of Highway 12. When it comes running down off that hillside coming down off of there. Right. Now, the only problem we have is once we put a culvert in there, we have Steve Cox's private road. It's down there that feeds his campground. So if he doesn't put in a culvert down there, because that's not a town street, that's not a town right away, that's his own private right away. So we'll wash out his whole entire road if we just take it and put it in there and he doesn't put one in. So other than that, it should go straight all the way down, right down to Boulder Creek again and return it back into the thing. So
okay. I just don't know any place else to divert it when you get a big bunch.
Right. Well, that's what right here coming off of, like, coming down out of your parking lot, coming off of that area. I don't know where to send all that water coming down. Yeah. You send it straight down the side of it. And, I mean, send it over to the other side. Mark has his hay and everything else over there. So curb and gutter.
Yeah, well, something we are going to have to look at eventually, because it's, and I understand with what they did up on the Anasazi, that didn't help, or they were going to put in the tiny homes or something.
Yeah, where they've been digging it there, all that new sand came out of there and it flooded out.
All right, well, let us know on the,
okay,
on bringing that gravel in. That's a good idea. Okay. Next on the agenda. Okay, so I'm going to give you a little. We put Cindy on the agenda at the last minute, and actually she got put on. We were supposed to have a 24-hour notice to put anybody on the agenda. And we had problems with this one time before, miscommunication. So next month, we're going to discuss the resolution to put in place a resolution to where people have to email us. We have to have a paper copy of them wanting to be put on the agenda a week ahead. Because we've had miscommunication a couple of times, and if we get emails or even emails and phone calls, then this shouldn't happen again. Now, because this is under 24 hours, we're only going to have a discussion with Cindy. We're not voting on anything. We made a decision on 400 North. So we will allow, 200 North, you're right. We will allow Cindy to come up and talk about that road. But I also would like to say, when we voted on this, it's a safety issue. So if nothing has blocked that road between the last, when we voted on this and today, then I don't see where there is an issue. We've talked to our attorney, we've done everything on our part, we've tried to keep the town as safe as possible, or anybody going in and out, not just the town, anybody going up and down that road. So Cindy, I'm going to allow you to come up and speak for a few minutes. It will strictly be you speaking and no discussion. So.
Oh, I'm always going to discuss anything I say.
Yeah, come on up. It's because it's within the 24 hours. We can't make any decisions, and we've made that decision. So, but you're more than.
I notified.
Yes, it
can. In intent. At least 2 weeks ago. So, what happens after I notify somebody that I want to speak about this issue, and then, I actually put on the agenda to discuss it, and then magically I'm never on the agenda.
Well, and the first ago. You're correct, the first one was my fault. Okay, I take the blame for that one, but that's why we want to have it in writing, because if it had been in an email or something, then somebody else would have got it, you know, then we would have known. It wouldn't have just been, and I'm not saying that word of mouth isn't good, but it's just good to have it in writing and shooting an email. So
I'm happy to send emails.
Okay, so anyway,
my mom's home health nurse, when she came to visit my mom today, did almost hit those rocks that are out there into the road. Now, I've listened to that, I don't know what to call, but end of the month meeting that y'all had. On the side of the road. That didn't say they could have washing machines, tables, chairs, rocks and pots. And I want to know what the town's going to do to resolve that issue. Because the road doesn't get blocked every day doesn't mean that the road doesn't sometimes get blocked. And I want to know what the town's going to do about removing all those objects off the side of the road. Because if the home health nurse had hit those rocks, then who's responsible to pay for the damages to her car? In Candace, the Circle Motel, or is the town responsible because the town has allowed this to continue, even though it's been going on from month to month, we've been talking about this issue. My brothers even filed a criminal complaint with the state regarding the handling of this whole issue. First of all, it's a non-conforming business. So you're allowing them to just put whatever they want on the side of the road at a non-conforming business. So I want to know, I want a resolution about that. I want the town to give them a set a period of time to correct the situation. And if they don't, then either they're fined or you come in and remove the stuff yourself. But I came in around the corner once and there's a car parked right. I wish I had whiteboard. I have a picture. I took pictures on my phone of these different things as I've seen them.
Of the car out in the road?
Yes. I don't know how I shoot it to your, I can pass my phone around and y'all can see what I took a picture of this one day. Because from the distance of the house, the motel, they don't really see how what people are doing down there. But I did take this picture. I found my own pictures on my phone.
Well, send that to us because we're not making any decisions tonight. Because it was under 24 hours. So send us the pictures and the proof of what's happening. And we will address it with Candace and Corey.
Who do I send a text message to?
Send it to Boulder Town and to me both.
So what's the email address for Boulder Town?
Boulder, Utah at South Central.
Yeah, I'm going to start a thread so I know what that is exactly. So Boulder, Utah.
Yeah, Boulder, Utah at scinternet.net. It's the South Central one.
SC
Internet.
Internet.
.net.
And it just has to be dark one night for there to be bad things happening right there on that corner because of what's going on in that corner.
Well, that corner is lit. There's a light there.
But like my mom has one light that's out, another one's been blinking and goes out and comes back in again. And she's put a call in to have her lights fixed, but given no time where they'll be fixed. So if it goes out and then the light's not fixed very quickly, then something happens and who's to blame?
Well, we'll find that out. But for tonight, if you want to get on the agenda next month, then put it in writing and we'll get you on the agenda. And I will, in the meantime.
I'm so sure I'll sit right over here and say the things saying I want to be on the next agenda about this issue.
Okay,
because what's your name? I feel like that I've been blown off. I feel like my brother Bob's been blown off. Nobody's taking my mom seriously, obviously, because she says she has been blocked. So I don't understand the problem. I'm not saying they can't park, people can't park there overnight. I'm saying all the other stuff has to go because it's a hazard. So,
okay, thank you.
I'll send you your technical message. I want to be able to
okay, thank you. All right. All right, so we no longer have Sam. All right, the county is bringing in a voting box on Wednesday, the 19th at 11:30. And so Judy, you'll be there, won't you, to receive the box. And then Monday and Wednesday, from 9 to 11, the office will, there'll be somebody in the office if you would like to bring your ballots in and put them in the box. Monday and Wednesday, 9 to 11. And we'll put this out. We'll make a notice and put it out over by the post office and the office stores and stuff so that people know what time they can come in and bring their ballots. And I know mail is convenient, but it would be nice if people use the ballot boxes. All right. John Berant and the housing presentation. They had a meeting, Jimmy, what day was it? And I guess it's irrelevant, but that's okay. John will tell us. Go ahead, John.
Okay, so this is discussing the upcoming community housing meeting that we have scheduled for November 17th. And what I wanted to do tonight is just share, update the town council on what's going on so that we don't get too far ahead of you guys, and get feedback on your expectations for the meeting and your expectations for what might happen after. So just, you know, briefly, so the meeting will be here in the town hall. Right now, the intention is to have an open house format from 6 to 7, and then a formal meeting with invited speakers, and then as much time as we need for citizen questions and answers. So the shortage of housing that is economically accessible to local families and seasonal workers is a rapidly growing problem in every community that is attractive to live in. If current trends continue, current Boulder trends, more housing will be occupied by investor second homeowners and become unaffordable to local residents. So the goal of the November meeting will be to educate the community and the Planning Commission regarding how other towns have addressed housing needs and get some ideas on next steps, both from the speakers and from the citizen input. We're talking about creating a generic legal structure within our ordinances for affordable housing projects to occur, but not really at this specific time. There's no specific proposal on the table at this time. So as I said, we want to be sure that the town council has input into the format, content of the meeting, and that town council concerns are being addressed right from the start of the process. Right now we have Jim Catwell listed as being a speaker on behalf of the town council. And I presume that is acceptable to everyone, including Jim. Okay. And I guess, have you invited out Carly Christian, Jerry Taylor?
No, I tried to get hold of him. I'll try again. I was unable to get hold of him, but I will. We'll make sure. I've got time this week. I can.
Thank you very much. I talked with him briefly at the Escalante Fourplex Open House, and he said, you know, you want to be sure the county's involved right from the start. So,
okay.
You want to have him invited. As far as if you ask what's our overall vision of what we're trying to accomplish, I would say meet local housing needs while also preserving open space and respecting the financial interests of all the property owners. It's a tough task, but I think other communities have achieved this in different ways. It's lots of little steps, not one big solution. Achieving affordable housing will require multiple approaches. One that's happening all along, as Tess Barker pointed out to us, was initiatives by landowners to help a family member or friend. Another one that's been used elsewhere and has been used here in Boulder is employer-assisted housing, where employers sponsor a project because it helps them recruit employees. Another one is the nonprofit housing agencies, and that's who did the projects in Tropic and in Escalante. So for those who weren't there, they had an open house, the fourplex that's on the east end of Escalante across from the cemetery. Jim came over, Elizabeth was there, Colleen was there, as well as myself. So we were pretty well represented. Is wonderful house, three bedrooms, each part of the fourplex. Rent is $850 a month, which is a bargain. And they are income restricted to, some of them are at 80% of area median income, and two of them were restricted at 50% of area median income. So the nonprofit housing agencies definitely have a role to play. We'll also be having, so we'll have Charlene Wild, Marlon's daughter, speaking. She's the executive director for Neighborhood Works, who did the Escalante and Tropic projects. We'll also have Dave Conine speaking about the USDA self-help programs and rural assistance programs that are available. The last part of the solutions is going to be leaning on the goodwill of property owners and investors who have a stake in the community, who are willing to do projects perhaps that reduce profit from what they would get if they did full market rate housing being sold to second homeowners. And part of that can be the town offering incentives to people who do things that have positive outcomes for the town. So that's what we hope to, that's what other communities have done in different ways and shapes and forms. I was just talking with someone on the Grand County Planning Commission about the affordable housing project in Moab, and they had a wonderful donor who just donated them a huge parcel of land for it. Whether we've got someone here in Boulder who'll do that, I don't know. Fingers crossed, but maybe we do have someone who will get, make a big boost to the town's accomplishing all this. So the bottom line and that affects the town council is that all of those approaches are going to require ordinance changes to remove existing barriers that we have that keep from being able to do an affordable housing project, and also to incentivize projects that advance the town's general plan, which does talk about preserving open space and affordable housing. So that's where we're at right now. Questions, comments, feedback from the town council?
No, right now I'm looking forward to the meeting.
Okay. So we'll
get some input, and we just have to keep moving forward. It's not going to be an easy thing to do, but I think it's doable.
I think so too. I mean, other towns have made great progress when the communities come together to accomplish something. And I think it's important. I mean, we all know the lack of EMTs, the lack of employees for the schools, businesses that are running short hours or because they don't have housing for staff. They don't have enough staff because they don't have housing for staff. So this is a definite problem here. And we'll see what we can do and what the community is willing to support.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks, John.
All right,
very appreciate good. Your input. Good job. Okay, next on the agenda, Scott Ahol. It's something about a statue. I'm not quite sure. Would you like to come up and present it, your idea of what you're looking at?
Did you get my pictures?
I did not. I worked today, so if you emailed it, I did not get it. Did you give it to Peg? Did you send it to Peg? I think Peg.
I did send it to Peg.
Okay. Have you got something, Peg?
I have one picture, Scott. I emailed and said there were two of your files I couldn't open whatsoever. But I have one photograph of the sculpture, I guess it is. So I'll share that screen here.
Here, can I pass those around?
Sure, sure.
Okay. Do you see that now?
These will make more sense. And everyone, once I kind of read my blurs here. So I'm going to start by introducing myself. I've lived here for 5 years, so some of you don't know me. So I'll just start by introducing myself. My name is Scott Aho. I've been involved in East Garfield County for 28 years. I own property and a Main Street business in Escalante, and I've lived in Boulder for 5 years. I'm a trained artist by profession. The two areas I work in are photography and stone sculpture. I've worked in stone for 40 years. I'm proposing stone sculpture for Boulder. It would be a large boulder, approximately 6 feet tall. It would be a boulder not brought in from somewhere else, but a boulder from town here, a boulder. One of the boulders our town was actually named for. Uh, Many hands will be carved into the stone, as you can see from the pictures. The hands represented are the working hands that have built Boulder for over 120 years. Hands that have cleared the fields, dug the irrigation ditches, all the way to the little prints of children representing the future of Boulder. Of approximately 25 hands that will be on the rock, one half will be handprints of elders of our town, who have dedicated themselves to building Boulder into the fruitful oasis it is. Shauna Beer has agreed to collect the hands of elders in the town for the project. Some of the prints that she will be collecting will be the joint hands of elder couples, from elder couples that have created families here in Boulder. How nice it would have been to have the Brim's joint hands to be on the Boulder Rock. But that's not possible. But it's not too late to start collecting and representing and honoring the elders that have been, that are still with us. Let's start now to collect hands and build a monument to them. Now I'll go into a little bit of the logistics of the sculpture. The sculpture would be of no cost whatsoever to the town. I will donate my design and work, my design work and physical carving. The Boulder Arts Council will provide the project with production and cover the entire cost of the moving and installation of the donated carved stone. I'm proposing placing the sculpture in front of the community center, left or right of the main walkway, or possibly on the grassy knoll southeast of the park pavilion. I am open to other public locations as well. The time frame would be approximately 1 year from the proposal acceptance to installation. To Boulder itself has also been, a number of people in town have said that they would donate a large boulder, although it hasn't specifically been accepted yet. The prints that you can see obviously are composite prints that were made in Photoshop, and the one on the pavilion, the park, the rock is much larger than it would actually be. It just was a little messed up in the Photoshop. And as you can see also in those pictures, you can see the depth of the handprint. So what the project would be in essence would just be a way of honoring our heritage, the people that have built the heritage in the town. And by putting 25 handprints on the rock, there would still be room for more handprints, possibly in the future, maybe adding a handprint every year, honoring somebody by adding their handprint to the rock. So that's it. Thank you for your interest.
Thank you. Right. Thank you. I think it's a great idea. The expense to the town is nil, and I like the looks of the pictures. Does anybody have any other comments, Elizabeth?
Scott, is it going to be cemented to the ground, or is it going to be rebarred to the ground, or is it just going to be sitting like?
No, it would be professionally mounted where there would be a hole dug, there would be a cement foundation. And with most rocks, you don't want to then just have them sitting on the rock. If you embed them into the ground a little bit, it's much more natural. And so it would be definitely secured. And again, all that would be covered, the cost would be covered. And I've done about 8 of these hand projects so far. And it's a really interesting, if I may go on for another second here, it's a beautiful thing to see when you put one in, like this one, for instance. I displayed it in the park, and almost everybody that came up with it, especially the children, would place their hands in the rock. It was almost like magnetism. And if you had a rock where there were 360 degrees on all sides of it, you know, I could really see kids and just everyone trying to find them. And the elders whose handprints would be put on the rock, those would be documented and a photograph would be given to the family. So in 100 years, their ancestors, if you go in that direction, their ancestors in the future would be able to come back and document where their hands are. And that same information would be documented and given to the town to hold on to. So somebody could come back many years later and still find their great-great-grandmother and grandfather's hand on the rock.
Yeah.
Or 1,000 years from now.
Well, you know, we've had pictures with everybody in it. I think this family is about history. I'm all about history. Gladys, what do you think?
Oh, yeah.
I don't see myself that way, but I do realize I am.
Steve?
I think it sounds great.
Jim?
Awesome.
How about you, Elizabeth?
I think it's a wonderful idea.
I do too. So I guess my other question is, should we decide tonight where we want it or wait down the pike or just get it over with and decide where we'd like to put it? Any input?
Is there an area that Scott is proposing as his choice or Scott, are you asking for us to pick the location?
I'm willing to work on it with anybody, but I love this spot. My favorite spot is just right out here where there's already
all the rock work.
All the rock work, and there wouldn't really have to be much disturbance, and it's not right on the light, it's no way off. But you want a gravel path around it so people can interact with it around it. But I think that would be a really nice spot. It would be nice, as I mentioned, over at the park, at that grassy knoll between the pavilion and the restroom. But my preferred spot would be here.
Well, any input? Anybody have a preference? Or
I like right out here. Okay. According to the pictures, it looks a lot better for her.
Okay. How about you, Elizabeth?
Yeah, I think that's great. And I think as Scott continues to work on years out, although he's going to figure out a spot that it needs. And if that changes at all, he can just bring it to us and it would be a simple discussion.
Okay. All right. Well, I make a motion that we go with Scott Daho's plan for the hand. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Gladys, yes.
Steve, yes.
Jim, yes.
Judy, yes.
Elizabeth, yes.
All right. Motion carries, Scott. Good job. All right. The park committee resolution is next on the agenda. Steve, do you want to address that some and maybe read the resolution that they're asking to be put in place?
The park committee requested some guidelines and I guess ground rules by which to operate going forward. And at the last meeting of the park committee, here are the things that they propose. First, ask the town that there be an official resolution for the establishment of the park committee. Next, that the park committee be made up of 5 members and an alternate who would be willing to be present at all meetings, but only voting when a member is absent. Next, the term would be for 4 years with an 8-year limit. 2 or 3 members being replaced or reappointed every 4 years. Next, that the park committee is allowed to choose members from those who volunteer. Next, that members need to be a full-time residents who live in the 84716 area with a postal box in Boulder. Next, that the park committee will choose members to include an equal representation of men and women. I think maybe a better word than equal might be what? I had it and I've forgotten. Anyway, there would be two or three male, two or three female to make up the five members. Next, the recommendation and plans for improvement for the park will be submitted to the community for comments via public hearing. And finally, the town put out notice that there are two vacancies on the park committee, one member and an alternate. Now, Tina has been on for forever, and she will be stepping down because she's very involved in other other commitments in Boulder. And Laura DeMay then would be stepping down next year. So there's where we are.
All right. So do we only need one right now and one later, or?
One to replace Tina and an alternate.
And an alternate. Okay. All right. So we'll get that notice out.
And Steve, can I ask a question? As far as when they did it, in order to make sure that the rotation is correct, within their meeting, did they determine who is up in 2 years and who is a four-year term, or was that not yet decided?
That was not yet decided, only that Tina would be stepping down now and Laura DeMay next year.
And so, and with this resolution that they're proposing to us, that they would like for their committee to determine who's in what roles, because you don't want all of them, the current members, to be all up at the exact same time, correct?
Correct. And they'll address that.
Okay.
Okay, well, we should know that if we're going to be making a resolution, we should know the
order.
The order. So if it's going to go.
And it's kind of similar to the way like the planning commission works. Like they have, like there's like each seat has a spot. And so then it's like, you know, like when I left being on the planning commission to come on the town council, the person that took my spot had however many remaining years that I had. And Peg keeps a record of that. And so it's like each position, like I believe that it's Matt Cochran's seat is the one that's up in December, right? And so he either will put his name back in or somebody else would replace him, but it there is a record of each seat.
Correct. Yeah. So we need that. That needs to, if we're making a resolution, we might as well put that in the resolution, and then
we could even have it be seat A, B, C.
Yeah, we
B
could do like that. That's even better. Yeah. Good idea. All right, we'll go that route. That's a good idea.
So,
and then that way, just like with our ordinance with the council and everybody on the emergency thing, we don't have to change it all the time.
So for next meeting, then, do we need to have this in the form of a resolution?
Yes.
So do I need to make a motion that that's what we do then?
Yeah, let's.
Okay, I make a motion that for the next meeting, we have the park committee's protocol, whatever you want to call it, in resolution form, and then we can
vote on it. Okay, because it sounds like a good idea.
I second that.
All in favor?
Gladys, yes.
Steve, yes.
Jim, yes.
Judy, yes.
Elizabeth, yes.
Okay, thank you. Motion carried. Okay. Community center internet coverage. I think this is something we just need to get finished. I'll give you my thoughts and then you let me know what you think. Ryan, I talked to Ryan yesterday at the post office, and I guess since Dave came in and changed the phone system, the router, I guess the router was bad. And so they had to put in new equipment. And since they put in new equipment, they haven't been able to get the service. At least Ryan could get it off the library while he was at the post office. And now they can't. He said, I have to go outside and back. And then Corey at the fire station had the similar problem. And then I know Karen wanted to be able to get into the internet to report her hours and stuff, or whatever they report and how often. So here is my thought. Dave made it Actually, Peg, I need for you to talk to Dave. So would you fill us in on what Dave said, and then I'll give my thoughts on what I think should happen.
Okay. A couple of weeks ago, our router was bad and it kept going out. So Dave Torgerson came over and replaced the router. And plus with a different password, I should add. It's still the Boulder Library network, but with a different router. I had told him that Corey Johnson and Ryan both in the post office both used the signal to do some work. And he was kind of surprised. And he said, I'm amazed that they have enough signal there to do anything. This is really just supposed to accommodate people in the building itself. So anyway, he suggested that maybe they need their own, either in the fire station or the post office itself needs their own router that can carry their own internet network. So basically what that would mean, you have to have a DSL line with South, this is South Central. You have to have a DSL line in order to have your internet service. So it'd be a phone bill plus the router. It's like $80 a month if I'm going by my own bill to have that service. So that's what he's talking about, installing it most likely in the post office itself and give Ryan his own router.
Okay, so.
Did anyone ask about an external access point instead of an individual router line? Like right now, and I know it has to be set up as the business account, so it's going to be different than personal and private uses, right? Because it is public internet because we share it. But at least at the school, the way I have it set up is I have the router inside the building. If you drive on the road outside, you'll see on the fence line, there's an external access point that's on the fence that is our same line. It is an additional thing you do. There's some fee associated with it, but it allows us to have internet outside and it covers all the way the pavilion at the church. And it's on the school's fence line.
Didn't Dave address that, Peg?
Not in so many words. External access point. I think you and I have talked about this before. No, we didn't talk about that, but if directed to do so, I mean, I can just get in touch with Dave and have him answer some more questions or do whatever he needs to do. He did make a point, I should say, that there was never the intention of the library network being actually used as a, you know, with people pull up to the parking lot and use it for free internet. That really puts us into a different grade of service as a full-fledged public network that you're just offering for free to everybody. Can you hear me okay? I just got a weird message on my...
Yeah, so far.
So anyway, the intent of the Boulder Library Network is that it's public, but for users of the building itself, either the meeting room or the library or whatever's going on in the community center itself, but not like we've been using it, quite frankly, a public available for everybody. So I'm not sure if that's part of what you're talking about, Elizabeth. It's kind of a different usage if we're doing that, but we were thinking in terms of the fire station, obviously a community building that needs service, and the post office, although it's not specifically community, it's providing the community service. And when Ryan needs to use the internet, it's for checking in packages, and I don't, when we get to Christmas time, that becomes critical. And if you can't deal with packages inside the post office, we're all in trouble. So anyway, I can talk to Dave and find out the best answer. But right now, the answer seems to be to give him his own router in there.
Yeah, well, I would say that it's worth looking at all the different options and asking, you know, like what is a price point for a public access? What is a price? What are the price points for putting a router just in the post office or in the fire station so that both EMS and all like EMTs and fire can use it. and just kind of get all the different prices and kind of get it listed out so we know exactly which ones are public and which ones are a private network and so on and so forth. So we know what all options are and what all the costs are. And it might also be worth it, I don't know, at the same time to look in prices of satellite internet, you know, or something else, because I know, and there are different, you know, options and different things become, whether it's public, business, private, you know, and then town business is under its own entity within internet price ranges, I think.
Well, we can check into that, but it seems to me, Elizabeth, when you put that external, wasn't that a booster?
No.
It wasn't a booster?
No, nope, it's not a booster. They're called external access points.
All right.
Was that a South Central thing or something else?
Our internet, the last few years we switched over to South Central. So the school is currently using South Central as their internet. South Central is not the one that installs the equipment because we have IT people within our own district and our IT department installed it. But it was it's through South Central.
Okay. One thing that Dave did say to me was, because we had the option of maybe installing somebody else's router in the library, and I asked him about that. And he said, well, you can, but we're not going to service it. So,
yeah. I mean, this one is one that is through South Central. It's just because of the way the district's agreement with them is, it's different than the town's going to be.
Right.
But they provided the external access?
The external access router that I'm using, it was through a grant that we qualified for.
So South Central didn't provide that then, right? So we'd have to get the cost of the external access router, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is you're going to have to look into and asking all of these things. And I would say Dave Torgerson is the best person just at least initially start this conversation with, because he's going to tell you exactly what we can and can't do. And then he tells us exactly what it's called. And then he might not know the price breakdown, but then he can get that information to us, you know, itemized out.
Yeah. All right. I can carry on with Dave. Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay, thanks, Peg. All right, we'll put that on the agenda for November.
And Peg, at any point, if you want to know the names of the things that I have at the school and how we have it set up, I believe Dave already knows, but if he doesn't, I can get that information for you.
Okay, very good. All right, we're down to approving the checks that were issued. Does everybody have a copy?
Yep.
Okay, any questions?
I'll make a motion. Checks be approved as presented.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Gladys, yes.
Steve, yes.
Jim, yes.
Judy, yes. Elizabeth? I think we lost her again. All right. Well, we have approval, so.
Sorry, I said yes, but I was on mute.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Sorry.
Right. Next, department reports. Elizabeth, do you want to start?
Sure. I have some notes. Let me pull them up real quick. Let's see. I'm going to start with the Arts Council. They have an upcoming Michael Branch reading on November 4th, and the holiday market will be on December 3rd. Planning Commission. So we heard a little bit about the housing forum coming up from John earlier, but last month, the Deer Ranch subdivision was discussed with Sean Owen, a concept plan for Full Moon Farms East, which is Rachel Levinson's property, was presented by Rod Torgerson. And an amended CUP concept was presented by Ray Gardner for an RV park. Logistics and presentation plans for the November 17th Community Housing Forum were discussed. And as I said earlier, John Varanth detailed that even more this evening. Tomorrow night is their regularly scheduled Planning Commission meeting. They will consider the Fogel-Fulmer subdivision that divides off a lot for a young resident. Also, the fire protection ordinance will be discussed and possibly voted on. Andy Rice will present his concept plan for a lot to be divided for that his family's trying to purchase from Jackie Smalley property for a new home. There is a housing forum, plans continue, and the Planning Commission is anxious for the town council to play an active role in that and participating and promoting the participation in the forum. And some notes that came in was that housing isn't just a problem for a few unfortunate people, but housing availability affects the entire community in its makeup, the services that we can provide, and the future for all its residents. For both now and those yet to come. Let's see, coming up, library. We discussed that there was a new router installed a couple weeks ago, and with it a new Boulder Library Network password. And that's all available for anyone that's using the community center, and it's posted on the wall in the library. The librarians are working on a Boulder history section. The opening will be announced at a later date. It will house family histories, historic maps and plats, some cemetery inventory, old sage pages, and, you know, published family memoirs and such things like that. Starting in December, they'll donate to cover those. On Saturday is the same day.
Elizabeth, could you repeat that last part? You zoned out on the library. It was the part after the password. Can you hear me okay? I can just tell you what she was going to say, the last couple items. The last couple items had to do with in December, starting in December, the librarians will be offering coffee and pastries with, like we did a couple years ago. And let's see, that's the thing I can remember. Is there something else, Elizabeth? Are you back on? Okay.
Yeah, well, can you hear me?
Now we can, yeah.
Okay. So let's see, I left off saying, I don't, at least where I think, so in December, the librarians are going to be serving hot drinks and goodies, donations, and they're requested to cover that service. And then on Saturday, October 29th, they're doing a secondhand and regifted sale to raise money for library operations.
Okay.
The
library is October
29th. You cut out again. October 29th. October 29th is the Bazaar.
Okay.
From noon until 3 on Saturday.
Bazaar.
Okay, I guess that's probably the end. Okay, Gladys, do you have anything?
No.
Quiet in travel council, quiet in.
We did, yeah, we had a travel council meeting. I think basically we just all said the same thing, that July and August were very dead, but
September and October.
Like most years, huh?
Yeah. And they're trying to get that across to the State Travel Council, because the State Travel Council still thinks we're like everybody else. And they just can't understand, well, gee, all the parks are busy all summer. And they're trying to point out to, no, Bryce Canyon is not, we're not that full. We're ready for people to come. So.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Steve?
Nothing. This is taken care of with the Parks Committee resolution. So.
Okay. No new ideas popping or? Okay. Jim?
Met with Tracy Munson on the Burr Trail on Highway 12. We're going to get with the county and the state and see if we can fix the corner right there where the stop sign is. We're going to see if we can put in a couple of the base or the gabion wall, like a gabion wall right there where it catches the water, so it sends all the water down across the street from Highway 12 right there, so we can actually rebuild that whole corner right there by where the stop sign is, and then redo the corner on the opposite side of the Burr Trail coming down. Tracy Munson, he suggested that we also, instead of just having the stop sign up there, actually paint stop on the road with a big old huge white bar on there, so people will actually stop at the stop sign. Because he says it's amazing how many people will just drive right by a sign, not even look at the sign. If it's on the road itself, they'll actually stop and see it. Trying to get a bid from Jamie Pace and see if he can cut all the trees going down the Burr Trail, come right there as soon as you turn onto the Burr Trail from Highway 12, going all the way down to past where the hill in front of my parents' house is. Talked to him also about the park trail coming up from the Burr Trail, coming right there in front of the lodge. What he suggested that we do is go in and put in our railroad ties going alongside of it. We have to sign a landscaping agreement with UDOT. We'll put in our railroad ties going up along it to highlight the trail itself. And then he says to go and put like 25 to 30 delineator posts in front of the trail so nobody can come park on it. That way you're not even pulling up onto the railroad ties or anything. And if you put the delineator posts, it'll bend down. You can even take the fire truck across it if we have to get to the fire hydrant for anything, which we would never be that close to the fire hydrant anyway, but it keeps people from parking right there. He said that we can do anything we want as long as we don't put anything in that is over 4 inches in diameter, because it has to be crash tested. So I actually talked to the lodge and had the lodge, they moved all those rocks that were out there really close to the road. They actually moved them all the way back. I told Susan that they can keep them there because people will pull down inside that culvert as soon as it's right there, as soon as you pull into the lodge parking lot. So I'm still trying to work on that. I haven't got the agreement from UDOT yet for the landscaping. The dump, I went up there with Sam the other day. We're going to have to start digging another pit. I think he already started clearing a couple trees out so we can start digging the other pit up there. I'm also trying to get Dave Dodds over here so we can talk to him about actually acquiring more land that's behind the dump, because we're almost out. And that was one of the agreements he made, is if we let people from the county put in their dump or their trash in there, that he'll try to work with us, the Forest Service, to get us more property. So I'm working on that with him right now. Let's see, metal. Dwight's, I don't know what to do with Dwight's. I keep getting blown off. I don't know if we should just try to find another metal place.
Is there any around?
No.
That's why he doesn't have to cater to you.
Anybody got any ideas how to make a sculpture out of all that metal?
It is a mound. So other than that,
you could make it right on the ground out there, Scott.
You're
right out there.
Okay. All right. The only thing I have is the audit will be, we moved the audit to December 7th from the end of October, because I've got a couple more appointments, but the doctors don't work with you. So you just have to do what you got to do. And it worked out actually better for us. Yeah. Yeah. So it worked out really good. I think that's all I have. I didn't get with the tree committee. So I'm sure things are probably quiet, but I don't know for sure. I'll have to check with them next month. All right, that's pretty well all we have then for the reports. We're open for public comments right now before we adjourn. Okay, Bill?
Bill Guile, I just have a comment for Jimmy on the 450 West. Maybe you can come down the next week sometime and we can walk part of it together. But beyond the problem you're trying to fix at Highway 12, there's multiple places along the east side of 450 West where we're getting serious runoff. That's part of the problem in the middle of the road. It's that road's been in great shape ever since Judith and I bought our place in 2007. But this year it started, it's not just the hailstorms. It started with the irrigation ditch overflow. There was some blockage in it. And then ever since then, it's repeated itself anytime we get any water. So I'm afraid we're going to have to look at ditching along the road because that mound you put in, it just goes around it and then it runs down the center of 450 West. And then there's some serious erosion going on along where Bryn Brody lives across from her house and a little bit where we are. And then the rest of it ends up on our property, which we've ditched into our orchard to try and make a good thing out of a bad thing. But it's starting to erode part of our road down by the turnaround also. So, and I just did some trenching for some electrical work that's going to happen tomorrow. And the phone line, at least on our property, I know firsthand, it's about 36 inches below grade. I don't know what it is up the road, but I hope we can look at doing some actual ditches on the side of the road to carry the runoff away. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else?
We've got a couple of hands. Shelley Price Gibson and Dan and Jennifer both have their hands raised.
Okay, Shelley.
Shelley, can you unmute?
Okay, now can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, just a couple of comments. I think that the rock thing, I love it. I think that's a great idea and everything. I just think you should have a final visual of their foundation and the size of rock. Make sure it's what is appropriate for our area. But other than that, I think it's perfect. And about the mail and the internet, I can't imagine the federal government not having a say in the communication with Ryan and what he needs in communication. So check with Ryan and see what the federal government says about his job there and what kind of communication they want out of that post office. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thanks, Shelley. What's his name over there at Escalade?
Ryan.
Is it Ryan? Okay. Oh, she put Ryan and Ryan.
Hi. Hi. Yeah. First, I want to just thank everybody for all their time and effort into doing these. I wanted to also say I really appreciated as a citizen listening to Judy when you were looking for feedback on the sculpture. You actually reached out to the council and said, hey, you know, what do you think about this, Gladys? And how do you guys feel about this? And engaging the council to respond to what's up before them. And I really appreciate that. I really want to hear about what, you know, what is the council thinking? Steve, I'd love to hear from you. Jimmy Catmull, Elizabeth, all of you, would love to hear you more voice what you're thinking. And I'd like to see that, especially in something that I find, Dan and I find really important, and that is the housing project or the community housing or affordable housing. How do we get people to stay here? And that was a really important thing that John Varanth came and he spoke and he really specifically asked the council, town council, what, you know, we're looking for direction here and what are you thinking? And I would like to have heard more from the council about how they felt about what John had to say. And I know, Judy, thank you. You did say that will be very interesting, but gee, it's such an important topic for our town and so critical, at least to us, as older people who really want younger people to be here or many different kinds of people. But anyway, would just really like to see Judy as mayor or other town council members to reach out to each other and say, hey, you know, these are some things, you know, what to get some discussion going on so we could hear what your thoughts are. So that's it. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. All right, bye.
Okay, thank you. All right, anyone else? There's a hand, was that still Jennifer?
Oh, I don't have my hand up anymore. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Are we good? Okay. If there's no other in, okay, go ahead, Gladys.
I wonder if a thing we need to look at is we do not have an actual written lease with the post office, do we? I don't, to my knowledge, we don't. I wonder if we need to have something in writing determining, you know, liability, things like that. And so maybe that's part of the internet thing is, you know what I mean? Maybe that's something we need to.
Okay.
And I would say maybe we need to ask our attorney if, you know, if that's something.
Where it's just Ryan signing a contract to.
And so you know, we really don't have anything in writing, to my knowledge. Judy, we own the building, yes, but I don't think we have anything else in writing about.
Okay, we'll look into that.
Judy, can I say something? This is Peg. Can I add something to that?
Sure.
I just wanted to tell the council that I think there's a lot of, Gladys, what you bring up is a good point, and there's probably lots of things that need to be discussed in terms of the operation of the post office and so on and so forth, but specifically this business about internet and his need of internet and Christmas coming up, I think there's a timely problem going on here. So I whatever we do can't take too long is what.
Right. Okay. And I agree. Cause you know, it's a service to us. You think of what it provides, we'd be in pretty bad shape if we didn't have a post office here. So even with all the electronics and all the goods we have nowadays, we need that post office. So I just feel like that myself, that they absolutely need to have some kind of an internet, one way or another, in the post office, which would work better for the firehouse. It would be closer to the firehouse and they could use that. And because this is what I was going to state earlier, I believe, and I think it's important that the public has some access to the internet. And that, unfortunately, they can't get at Hills and Hollows anymore because everything we work works with the internet. And when people start getting on the internet, I mean, we go down. So we had to stop that. And it's unfortunate that the library isn't open a little more often because people could come into the library and use the internet there. But we'll investigate and see what it's going to cost us. And but it's definitely important, I believe, for Ryan to have to be able to utilize the internet along with the fire station. So we'll check into that. The other thing that I wanted to quick mention was I talked to the attorney on the road and opening up the road. And he said, because it's a platted road, he said, all we have to do is open it up. Do what we need to do to open it up. We don't need any special paperwork, you know, so we'll take it. And I'm sure that'll probably be on the agenda for November. And since that, I forgot you guys, we have business. That's our first business for next month. We included two things on the business for next month. The internet and Cindy, and was there anything, what else was there?
Parks Committee resolution.
Oh, the Parks Committee resolution, that's what it was, okay. All right, very good. All right, we're done. Motion to adjourn?
Steve, you make.
Second? All right, all in favor?
Gladys, yes.
Steve, yes.
Judy, yes.
Elizabeth, yes.
Okay, we're adjourned.